We would like to welcome you back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I am Darren Howlett. Thank you for joining us on our ongoing culinary exploration of the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island.
We are here to interview the people that make our food, showcase their talent, skill, and passion.
Our goal is to talk to as many farmers, chefs, and food producers to tell their story.
And have a little fun. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
I'm Darren Howlett, and here we are for episode 59. 59.
I think we're on 59. Yeah, I know. We're starting to build a few episodes here. So.
Wow.
And we're lucky today. We have Fred Smith from the, people might know him around town here, from the Tin Town Tacos.
Right. Yeah,
as he lives in the Tin Town area.
Right.
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Right.
So a little topical today. We were having you on as a guest today because of, well, I mean, obviously to talk about food, but also kind of tying in with something that John and I are going to be doing soon.
That's right. We're going to be doing a Tin Town table at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you think you could just explain to us how this came to be and what it exactly is?
I'm not certain how it came about. I think I don't mind paying good money for good food, but I did object to paying being scalped for the cost of a bottle of wine. And I was reading a book, an article on the pop-up restaurants in Vancouver. There was one a while back, and it was sort of based on that idea, sort of took it from there and said, hey, you can have a great chef in there and bring your own wine and celebrate food and not spend so much money on, you know, for the event.
Yeah.
Wow. And that sort of, it was the beginning of it. But
yeah.
Well, how many have you done now?
This will be, I think, 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
With 5 different chefs and I think over 80 different guests at one time or another through all 7 of them.
Wow. Yeah, I know we were talking before we started here, how I was lucky enough to be there for one of them, which was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there.
I think we had 5 people from the restaurant business.
Yeah, yeah, there was. It was a lot of familiar faces in that one. And now here we are. It's, as I was saying before, full circle. Here we are now. There I was as a guest. Now we're going to be providing the food, which is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it, getting really excited. I know that we were worried about selling tickets, but tickets sold out pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have about, 24 people coming in?
We have 24. Yeah. There's been a few fluctuations, but it's still at 24.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I think we could have done a lot more, but we don't really have the room for more.
Right.
And that's what we're comfortable with, so.
Right. And so do you do these with any specific regularity or do you just do them as they come up or do you?
No, whatever.
Yeah.
When the opportunity presents itself.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. John doesn't often return his emails. So.
So I'm a little slow. Gets,
you know, I have a contact and a sister, Susan, sometimes lets me know if John's available. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. John's quite the busy guy.
Well, this is going to be my second one there. We did, the first one was a lot of fun, actually. It was quite interesting because it's an interesting spot because we're basically in your house and it's a one big living room. I guess you got the living room, which you clear everything out and just set up tables.
Yeah, set it up just like a restaurant with seating for 2, 4, or 6.
I love the arrangement of it. It definitely felt like a combination of restaurant and home.
You know, when people walk in, if they've never been to my place, they walk in and they go, they actually think when they first went up the stairs that it is a restaurant and they just, just fail to notice it. So, it's pretty good. And the kitchen, as you know, is huge. But
yeah, you have it's a beautiful place to work
it's
from.
It's not well equipped, but it is a big kitchen.
Yeah.
You've got the biggest requirements. You have a large table, so it's easy to plate up and do a whole bunch of plates at once. And there's a stove and a sink, so you've got everything you really need. So,
mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a fun night. I think when we come up here. And do it.
What was our menu again? Do you mind running it over? I know you've.
We have a roasted tomato soup,
right?
That we're gonna be doing with some crostinis,
right?
We have a nice salad with an apple vinaigrette,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll be working with some local Pontissima pasta and doing a smoked salmon and sort of a white wine clam sauce,
right?
Then we're doing a stuffed pork loin.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably do potato pavé and some vegetables.
Wow, that's a lot.
I got some local vegetables I've been kind of trying to get my hands on. And then we're doing panna cotta to finish it off.
Right.
So that's the
that's
main.
That's not even including the fact that we're doing canapés to start, and Ivan's truffles is going to be there for the end too.
That's right. So we're hoping to have some chocolate truffles to finish it off. And then I got my hands on some duck today.
Nice.
So we're going to do some smoked duck canapés. Yeah. And I got some fresh oysters that are coming in.
Wow.
And thanks.
Hollywood oysters. Really,
that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. A little Zen oyster.
You know, the other reason that I wanted to get involved with it was I could actually work beside people who were skilled. And never being involved in the food industry, I was interested in food. And there's no way I was going to go to culinary school and work my way through the ranks. And I saw this as an opportunity to actually stand beside you and sort of watch as much as I could and learn.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much.
Oh, that's like, fantastic.
Yeah. And that's really is the most important thing for me is, I mean, through doing the Tin Town Table, I actually, it gave me the confidence to buy the my taco cart.
Yes.
And even though, you know, it's a simple, it's only a taco, but, you know, the method and the way that you do it is something I've learned from all the chefs. Yeah.
That's a really good point. I never even thought of that. You know, it reminds me though, at work, I know that the kitchen guys, because I'm on the front of house staff, I'm not in the back. I know that they get really, at least they did until they got to know me. I know that they used to get really antsy that I would sit there when I'm not doing anything. I just sit there and watch what's going on. And they'd be like, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? What are you watching me for? What's going on? I'm like, I'm just learning. Like, that's it. And I've been like that for years. Whenever I've got a spare moment, I'll just sit and watch what the kitchen guys are doing just so I can take more in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've learned tons through doing that.
I've learned that through the 7 times I've done it. Something always goes wrong.
Right.
And
that's the best time
to learn. What makes the good chef, I think, is a couple of things. The ability to recover from a dish that's not quite what they imagined it to be.
Right.
But also the ability to keep their composure.
Right.
I've seen a couple of the chefs, like they were completely lost. They didn't know. They barely recovered in time to get the dish done. It looked like chopped Canada or something. You got 10 seconds left to get it on the plate.
Yeah.
And it was at first it scared me. You know, the first few chefs in there were that way. And then when I saw someone like you, it was much.
Yeah.
I was thinking, yeah.
The whole world can fall apart and John can put it back together.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Zen master cooking.
That's pretty much what a kitchen is something that is just constantly falling apart and you're just sort of restacking it back together. So
yeah. That's definitely one of his best traits as a cook is John is unfazable. You can't really get under his skin and if everything just goes to pot, he can pull it out. Yeah. And watch. And now that I've said that, everything's going to be a disaster in a week.
I'm feeling confident. I've done this menu before, so it should be good.
No,
and I know it's a great spot.
Yeah.
And actually, I appreciated that the last one we did, that I thought it was actually enjoyable. I sort of thought when we put this all together that you'd be spending more time sitting down and enjoying it, but you were like right in there. Hands on, running dishes.
You did tell me I couldn't touch anything. You know, I could deliver a plate to the room, but I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't help plate it.
Yeah.
But I also the other thing I learned too is, you know, like watching you plate, watching the chef's plate, you know, the final presentation, how important that is, and that, you know, the look is really, really important part of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun part of it for me. Yeah. Presentation. Yeah. I always think of it as a picture, and the plate's just a frame.
Yeah. That's so great.
Just combined it all together there. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Often on the taco cart, people will. I can see, like they'll, you know, I'll look up from the plate, and you can see they're just watching, and
just in that anticipation of
just to see. I guess often people don't see food put together that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it arrives. You know, in fast food, it arrives in a wrapper or it arrives at your table. But you know, on the taco cart, they see how they're actually watching it come together.
Right.
And watching the assembly. Built.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the people who are standing on their tiptoes are little kids. They're just fascinated by it
right.
all.
Oh, yeah.
I've got pictures where there's, you know, four or five little people on there enjoying the tacos.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The whole time, like having the sushi cart, same thing. Just people just always peering in, wanting to see more, wanting to see, because it always took two of us to run it.
Yeah.
And so they would always be watching what he's doing, what I'm doing, what he's doing, what I'm doing, you know, back and forth, just watching it all happen. Yeah. It's great. I love that though. I love that even more. Like just as much as I'm interested in how food comes together, I love it when other people get interested in learning how food comes together.
Yeah.
That's why I involve my kids and everything. And yeah, I thoroughly encourage it. I love people just wanting to get more involved in food. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing we should start talking about is your taco stand.
Yeah, we should.
And because it's quite an interesting little contraption you have. I don't know if contraption is the right word for it, but it's a cart.
Cart.
A trailer. It's quite ingenious. And you got it out of Vancouver, is that correct?
Or Surrey.
Surrey, yeah.
They're made in Surrey. I got it in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Bought it back here in July. I didn't really know anything about cooking.
Well, I know you made me dinner at your sister's place, Sue's.
Tried to make a paella for
paella,
you.
Paella, we did that on the grill. That was quite fun. I actually really enjoyed that. So.
You were polite enough to have a second helping, I remember. It wasn't my best paella, but...
I will never turn down food if people offer it to me, so...
No, and when I got back to Courtney, they made it almost impossible for me to get a license. And of course, my business plan was non-existent. I did have a food safe, and that was about as prepared as I was.
Right.
And when I went to Comox, they embraced the idea. I forget the name of the man there, but he set me up in Kai Bay, and it was a wet summer. And
yes.
I only had about 6 weeks left of the summer. It was probably a good thing because the tacos weren't all that good, I don't think.
Oh, yeah?
But... I had,
just flavor-wise? You mean they just
weren't they aren't what they are now.
Right.
I mean, they were fine. People who had them liked them and all that. But you know, the taste now is more refined. And I've picked up lots.
Right.
From, and I think what's really saved my ass was getting into the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That wasn't easy.
Yeah.
They made me jump through all kinds of hoops. And, you know, they were trying to tell me not just what to use, but how to make them.
Right.
Really.
Where to access the ingredients. And that's fine to a certain degree. It is a farmer's market.
Right.
But, you know, as I reminded a few people that, you know, they don't ask, like the flour from the bakers isn't local. And, and the, you know, do they use natural pastures cheese in their pizza slices? And, you know, so
true.
I asked for a bit more leeway and I finally... They say, okay, go ahead and we'll see how you fit in.
Yeah.
And this is the third year I've been in the farmer's market.
Yeah.
I access more and more local stuff. I try to incorporate more and more local ingredient. Some of it you can't do because I want to keep my prices
that's
affordable.
Of course.
But wherever I can, there's fresh produce on those tacos.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I've heard other people's trials and tribulations in trying to get into the local farmers market, and it's gone through some changes for sure, but at times it's been definitely very difficult. I know of one person in particular went through absolute hell, trying to get their product in there, and that was the same thing. They were saying, well, you have to buy from local, like you have to buy from other vendors, the exact same argument. They said, well, these people aren't, and these people aren't, and these people aren't. They're all selling products that they didn't have to buy from each other, too, so why should I? And ultimately, they threw their hands up in the air and walked away. But I've heard also since then, that person came back and said, things have gotten a lot more accessible there, and the farmer's market is becoming more inclusive. It was just that very short period where it became very difficult, and I don't know if that came from up on high, if they were getting more regulated themselves, or...
Or just out of necessity because there was no one serving food and people were hungry.
Right.
I'm not sure. A compromise, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I love our market. Don't get me wrong. But there was a time when it was very difficult.
It's a great market. And it's really well supported. And this year, it's been the best year ever as far as I can, you know, concerned.
Yeah.
Lots of people come down. Lots of new faces.
Right.
And lots of produce. It was a great summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel bad because I couldn't get out at all this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't serve you a taco this year.
I know. It was actually painful. I haven't had a good taco for a while.
Yeah.
So wow. I'll have to next year, that's my point. This year I got stuck in the restaurant. I was doing the Saturday morning, so it's kinda
I'm lucky this year. This year I sold the cart. I'm still keeping the business going, but I've sold the cart, and this summer is going to be my first in years of not vending throughout the summer. So that alleviates a lot of time for me this summer. So I get to actually enjoy my summer instead of looking at it as the time to double down and work twice as hard.
I'll comment on that. I never realized when I got into this how much work is involved in food prep. It's insane.
I know. Oh, it is.
Like, it is way more than I ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
And so many of the people who are involved in the food industry get paid so little.
It's mm-hmm. true.
You know, for the time that it takes.
It's true. Absolutely.
I mean, I think I've almost taken a shortcut. I know I've taken a shortcut from people who work in a kitchen doing dishes and working their way up.
Right.
And never seen a smile of the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm standing there. I haven't paid my dues in a sense. And they're like, I'm putting together some food with the help of, you know, of people beside me. But, you know, I'm getting to see the smiles. The people are coming back, and there's regulars, there's kids smiling, there's moms and dads. It's wow.
Yeah.
And I go, but boy, is it a lot of work. I'm only out there 3 hours on a Saturday, but there's a couple of days in behind before you get out there. And
oh yeah,
it's true.
You know, the prep that goes on in the food industry.
I know. I mean, for me to put out a plate of sushi, I mean, obviously I'm then ready to keep going, but it takes about, I would say probably 9 hours of prep for me to get ready for the first day of service for one of my weekends. And I mean, but that's obviously to be prepared to serve for the whole weekend, like for the night or that day. But I mean, the prep involved is just insane.
Yeah. You want to know hours. it takes, this will be the first year the Atlas doesn't shut down, but we're going to, usually when we have our shutdown in the winter, it takes about 80 hours of work
just to get
the kitchen prepped up to start service.
That's 80 man hours. That's not 80 consecutive hours. Yeah. So you need to pay out 80 hours just to get our backup foods ready,
enough food to start the first day's preparation. We're constantly playing catch up from that moment. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it always, it kills me in some senses, but you know, we have 4 guys in 2 days ahead of time, you know.
Yes. Prepping. Yeah.
Just prepping food just to get it all set up and ready for that.
Chili yams going, getting our big black beans, or
but it keeps me out of trouble. That's why I like it. So
yeah, but yeah, I agree. That's the thing is my children are they're 9 and 7, and the last few summers, you know, these are pretty integral summers. They've got the whole summer off, and the last few summers they've been starting to ask why I'm not around as much, and I just made that decision that I can always go back to the food vending. I'm still keeping the business. I'm still doing all of the other aspects of my business. I'm still doing all my, I have school contracts all over. So I'm still going to be doing that, but just these summers when I become even less available to my kids. So I have to give that up for a year or two. And just, I told them this summer that we're going to go visit every island in the Strait. Mm. So we're going to hit Salt Spring. We're going to hit Quadra, Cortez, everything. Through the course of the summer, we're going to hit every island. So
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have more time.
Yeah, definitely will. Yeah.
So, with yourself, is there any plans for the Tin Town? You're going to keep doing the farmer's market for the next while?
One more year.
One more year?
So, one more year. I'm getting ready to go down and do some more research and development.
Ah.
I'll be leaving shortly for intense training in Mexico.
Nice.
Searching the markets for that unique taste.
Well, that's how the taco chili cart came to be, wasn't it? From your trips.
Yeah, when I was as that
severe
was part
research.
Of it. Yeah, well, no, but actually, when I was down there, I was a lot of carts down there, a lot of carts in Portland and that as well. But when in Mexico, I'd go hang out at the market and talk to the people who were making the tacos, and I hired a couple of the ladies to come back up, show me how to do the tacos, and we would shop it together in the market, gather all the goods and what was needed to make the tacos, refried beans, mm-hmm. and a few other side dishes. And we had a communal kitchen where I stay.
Right.
And we would spend 5 to 8 hours cooking, me basically watching them cook.
Right.
And it was really a big learning experience. And I'll say one thing that the... any vegetarian eating refried beans in Mexico is eating a lot of pork.
Yeah. Yeah, the secret and flavor enhancer.
Right.
Yeah, I can't believe how much pork fat went into those beans.
Really?
Yeah. So, as you said before, they are somewhat infrequent. They happen when you can, when the stars align and the right chef comes along.
For the Tin Town Table, yeah. Whenever it presents itself.
Right.
It's a lot of work for me to change it all around.
Right.
And so it has to be, you know, it's got to fit, you know, two schedules.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have any others coming up after ours next week?
No, this will be it.
This is it for until you get back, or?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, maybe something in March.
Right. And how can people look for that? Or do they just have to keep their ear to the ground?
Yeah, ear to the ground.
I'm sure we'll mention it something as soon as we hit
it. There'll be rumors.
Yeah. There'll be a little rumors going
on. We'll mention something on the show for you, for sure. I mean, definitely want to promote you. So
that's great.
Yeah.
No, well, thanks for having me on. And it's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Exactly.
Great.
Okay, well, we'll see you in a few days. And hopefully have you back on after you get back from Mexico and we can talk some more.
Right on.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website at ediblevalley.com.
And like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your questions and comments at ediblevalley@gmail.com. We would love to hear your suggestions for guests or what you'd like to hear on our show. And don't hesitate to send John your cooking questions or pick our brains for local food information. Remember,
keep it local.